Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Oh, this must be the famous Mrs. Doubtfire. It's a pleasure to meet you. Yes, Wilbur, Miranda's been raving about you.
Odd, she's never mentioned you.
No?
No.
Oh, well, well, it's good to meet you.
You too.
Yes. I have a home in London. I was born there. What part of England are you from?
Here and there, dear. All over, really.
Yes. Accent's a little kind of muddled there.
Really? Well, so's your tan.
Yeah, so then Sally Field takes him to one side and says, look, could you stay late? Because I'd like to go for a drink with this really nice man.
Yeah, and Robin Williams immediately kicks in with, oh, no, 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 he's probably going to rape you or sexually assault you.
Yeah.
Or something, so you shouldn't. And also, he also does that thing where he does it 2 or 3 times in the film, where he will give over overtones as Mrs. Doubtfire that Sally Field's character shouldn't act like a harlot or a slut.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't actually try and have a good time.
No.
Shouldn't enjoy herself in a consensual way. Should never be happy.
Mm. Because she has ruined his life.
Yes,
in his
exactly.
eyes, I mean. Because she
exactly.
hasn't. He's a cunt.
It's just pure revenge.
Yeah. So then we get the worst scene in the film.
Oh,
where he goes for a piss, but leaves the door open. Mm. And his young son has to
witnesses.
Walk in and see him. Yeah, witnesses is a better way of saying it.
He witnesses his father's junk.
Yes, dressed as Mrs. Doubtfire. How traumatising would that have been for this child?
Well, it does traumatise him because a bit later on... No, because it's after this that he has to reveal himself to his children.
Yeah.
If you pardon the expression.
He does, literally.
He already has. Yeah. And even the son is, like, reluctant to hug him. He's like, I need to process a lot
of
shit now,
oh,
Dad.
I get it. It's a guy thing. He's like, no, I've just seen your cock.
I've just seen your cock, Dad. Urinating. It's the first time I've seen your cock and you haven't given it a funny voice. I'm processing.
Oh, look, it's Mr. P. He's being sick.
Oh, no, here comes a funny cobra. Oh, Dad, stop it. So even the son's like, you're fucking odd and I don't want anything to do with you for a bit.
And he hugs the girl as well. It's like, you just... Oh,
I know.
Oh,
you haven't washed your hands either.
Hands. Yeah. It reminds me of that bit in the Eric Andre show where Hannibal's dad comes out and he's got his penis hanging out of his trousers and it's all pixelated.
I'm your father. What are you doing here, Dad?
I just want to say I love you, son.
Dad, this is a bad time for us to reunite. If you are indeed my father, why would you step out now during the biggest interview of my life? That means you don't care about me as a son.
No, I do. I really do care.
You haven't been in my life at all. And I'm interviewing Nick Cannon, former R. Kelly collaborator, and stagehands let you walk in here with your dick out.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, it's awful. And he says to them, and again, this is really psychologically wrong.
Oh, yeah. He says, make the children complicit.
Yeah, he says, don't tell your sister because she'll blab.
Yeah, she'll give the game away.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, or she might scream and actually commit suicide.
Yeah.
But she finds out that Mrs. Doubtfire is her dad.
Oh, and then, to make matters worse, after this, Sally Field comes home and they have tea together.
Yeah.
And he says, so what was Daniel like in bed? It's like, oh, Jesus Christ.
I know.
Oh my god.
Again, this is reverse psychology torture. This whole. And she's like, oh, he was all right. And she's like, no, he must have been better than her at the stud muffin. And it's like, oh god, stop bigging yourself. It's just horrible.
It's really horrible.
No, it's not. At the time, obviously, this wasn't a problem, and everyone was just laughing. And but when you watch it now, you're like, Jesus, the psychological torture that Daniel plays on his family and everyone, everyone he works with, any form of life is all deceit, lies.
Oh, it's just so awful.
I know.
And then the next scene, Pierce Brosnan, very kindly and lovingly,
yes,
invites them to his exclusive club.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, kids, I hope you got your swimming things. Look at this amazing swimming pool. And then he says to Doubtfire, he says, come swimming as well. She's like, oh, no, I can't. You know, does a joke about whaling. And then he says, yes, I tell you what, you go to the bar, have a sit down.
Yeah.
Any drink you want is on me. How lovely is that?
Isn't that, again, super accommodating? Mm. And we've missed just a tiny bit that happens before that. And it's not important, but it's so important in this movie because it does movie logic, is you get a little bit of Robin in between the scenes doing his dreary day-to-day life, which doesn't seem that bad. He labels film cans and just ships them around. Yeah. And then he wanders onto a set where this man is doing a program about dinosaurs and he's really boring and everyone's yawning.
Yeah.
And then Robin ad-libs and is hilarious and then goes, which arsehole made this? And this guy goes, I made this.
Mm.
And he's like, hey, you're a funny guy. I might try and give you an amazing opportunity really soon.
Mm.
That only happens in movie logic. Only happens in movie logic.
Yes.
Who then you find out turns out to be some weird, drunken pederast who's just interested in fucking call girls.
Mm.
Just to layer this with even more. Mm. What the fuck? But at that point, Robin's watching this dry old man going, and the dinosaur got up and then fell down. And then Robin's going, oh my God, what you should do is you should have, I'm a pterodactyl, I've got a big vagina. And the guy's like, oh, you're hilarious, you nobody. I might give you a chance soon. Yeah.
Yeah. But at the swimming pool,
yeah,
he goes and sits down at the bar and then he says, I'll just sit here and watch you move in with my family. It's like, well, no. No.
Not really.
No, your wife, your ex-wife, by the way.
Yeah, ex-wife. And also
a lovely man you should be happy about.
Nothing but chivalrous. Hasn't made any moves as of yet.
No.
Might have maybe given her a casual peck on the cheek. That's all we know at this stage. Because you, Daniel, have spent all your available time planting seeds.
Yeah.
Horrible seeds. Horrible.
But he has a moment of self-awareness because he sits there and then just goes, this is beyond obsession. Like, yes,
and then starts drinking a pint and belching to remind us that it's a man.
Yeah.
And then a lady in a bikini turns up at the bar.
Yeah.
And he gives her the eye like, whoa.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, God. It's just horrible.
It's
and throws a lime at him.
Yeah, he throws. Well, he overhears Pierce talking to his friend at the bar, and his friend says, "Who's that?" And he goes, "That's Sally." And he's like, "Oh, what, Sally from the old days?" He says, "Yeah," and then he says lovely things. He says, "Oh, she's got kids, isn't that a bit of baggage?" And you're expecting Pierce to go, "Yeah, I'll get rid of the kids."
No, and he goes, "No, I'm approaching 40. I need to sort my life out. The kids are absolutely charming and amazing.
I love those kids.
The little girl's just an absolute diamond. I'm going to do my best to try and." Easily sort of like ingratiate myself to this family, will hopefully establish some love and trust, and I could be the father that they never had, and also I've got a bit of money so they can really enjoy the finer things in life for the first time in their life.
Yeah, and you see him playing with them and he's lovely.
Yeah, and Daniel is seething.
And then he overhears,
how dare he,
and then Daniel overhears him say, well, the father's a bit of a loser, sadly. He is.
Yeah,
he is. And then he takes offence at that and throws a fucking lime at his head.
Exactly. As soon as Daniel hears that, you know there's a million Morrissey songs going on in his head of self-loathing, doubt and anger. So he decides, fuck it, I'll throw citrus fruit at James Bond.
Yeah. And then the line that he improv that everybody quoted at the time, he's like, oh, it was a drive-by fruiting or something.
Yes, drive-by fruiting, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is all right.
And again, Pierce doesn't run up to him and say, you fucking what? He just composes himself and carries on walking, bringing a tray of drinks and refreshments to Daniel's children, by the way, that he's paid for.
Yes, yeah.
So rather than thanking him, he throws fruit at his head. So then the next day he goes to work early and the set's there for the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And then he starts doing what you were talking about. Hi, I'm T-Rex with the...
I eat wood. Again, all that. It's just, it's the standard Robin Williams in that sort of film. It's a silly voice and pop culture reference.
Yeah.
And then just do 20 of them really quick and hopefully one will land.
But what he doesn't know is the station CEO, Jonathan Lundy, who you mentioned before.
Jonathan Lundy, yeah. Oh, where can the guy get a fucking a drink round here?
He's watching him and he goes, this is really good.
Yeah, you're brilliant.
We should have dinner together and to discuss plans for making you doing a show.
Yeah.
He says, I'll tell you what, meet me Friday night at 8 at Bridges Restaurant.
And Robbie's like, oh, yeah, I'll do that. Can't wait. I'm going to finally get my first step on the career ladder and have a proper job. I can get my kids back for the, you know, and start psychologically torturing them again.
Yeah. So then he goes back to the house as Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
And Sally Field says, Stu's, I'm trying on dresses, lovely dresses. What do you think?
Yeah. No, not that one, dear. You look very slutty.
And then he offers her a dress that covers up her entire body.
Yeah, some sort of funeral, like a dress you last wore at a funeral. She said, that's the one you should wear so you don't show off any of your naughty bits, etc.
And then she asks the kids and the little old lady girl.
Yeah.
Says, oh, you should wear the black one.
Where's my cocoa, she says.
She says, an Alan Bennett monologue.
Oh dear. It was a funny old day. She suddenly turns into Arkwright and Open All Hours. At the end. That's the last shot of the film. It's just her. She's got a little broom. She's like, well, it's been a funny old week. Dad dressed as an old English lady from No Fixed Abode. My brother saw my dad's penis. It's a funny old film, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Nurse Doubtfire Emmanuel.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Oh, my God. And then she says, well, Stu, the reason I want this dress is because Stu is having a birthday dinner.
Yeah.
At this wonderfully lovely restaurant called Bridges.
Yeah, and also, he doesn't want to just take me. He wants to take the whole family. And actually, he's even said, would you like to come as well, Mrs. Duffer? That would be really nice, so I can get to know everyone.
Mm.
Again, what a perfectly normal, lovely thing to do.
Mm. But it's at the same time as his meeting with the sex maniac.
The sex maniac, TV core girl obsessed, functioning alcoholic children's TV show producer. Yeah.
Oh, also, don't they have dinner at his flat again? But he's made a wonderful dinner.
He's made like a sort of pasta thing, and now the flat looks impeccably beautiful.
Mm. And Sally Field turns up and says, oh, have you got a cleaner? And he's like, no.
No, I did that. It's like, well, yeah, you should have.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? You want me to give you some sort of fucking chuffney badge or something? Because you fucking cleared up your shit a bit. And you made some decent food that's edible. You're a changed man. yeah, you know that there's a montage shot of Robin doing that.
Yeah.
But he's obviously dressed up as a penis or something. And he's like, I'm the penis that does housework. And he's like, okay, if you want. And the house has come clean. Big crescendo. That's the end of that scene.
Or something. As he squirts Windoline on the mirror.
Yeah. And he's, oh, God, it would be as well.
Yeah.
Squirting Windoline on the mirror. And then, hur, hur, making funny noises as he rubs it. It's like, all right, if you want.
Oh, I think this rag is broken.
Yeah, and then there's one where he's trying to do the windows, but the window's already open. He's like, oh, my God, I just cleaned the air. And it's like, all right.
And the neighbour opens the window and just leans out and says, will you shut the fuck up?
Will you shut the fuck up? I work shifts. I've just done 6 months on a fucking oil rig and I nearly died 3 times. I need some kip. Meanwhile, he's
doing breakfast this morning as well. Shut up.
I've spent 3 hours listening to you do Mr. fucking Magoo as you fucking made pasta. Then for some reason you were dressed as a fucking bald-headed eagle. I don't know why. Raking leaves in your fucking yard. Oh, God. Then you were a surfer, dude. You did that for fucking 9 hours. There was no one else in the flat. The apartment was empty. It was just you. The TV wasn't on. And you were just going, hey, dude, big kahuna, man. Just, I will call the cops. I will call them. Please leave. This whole neighborhood has made a petition. We need you gone. We'd rather a serial killer lived in this house. They keep themselves to themselves. but not you. Every time the mailman comes, you have to open the door. And for some reason, you're dressed as a fucking hen. Oh, if my egg mail come. Egg mail doesn't even make sense. It doesn't even trip. It doesn't have... It doesn't make sense, Robin. Oh, my God, I want to get laid. Okay, that kind of works. That kind of works. But again, out of context. So please leave. Christ. Exhausting character. And now we move to the bit of, which is, this is like the fulcrum of the whole film, isn't it? This whole thing is nearly 25 minutes and it is so mind-numbingly tedious and stressful to watch. Robin Williams has to be Daniel and Mrs. Doubtfire in the same room and find out comical ways of going from table to table without being seen by either party. Yeah. And it's exhausting.
He tries to kill Pierce Brosnan.
He tries to kill him.
Yeah, he finds out he's allergic to pepper. Obviously, badly allergic to it.
Yeah, so he goes in the kitchen. He doesn't even put like a little sort of like comedy Italian pepper grinder thing. He puts like fucking half a ton of cayenne pepper on his shrimp.
Yeah. But what's happening is at the table as Mrs. Doubtfire, he's having a spritzer or something.
Yes.
But at the table with Jonathan, who likes a drink.
They're having whiskies, aren't they?
Yeah.
So he immediately gets drunk.
And he keeps having to excuse himself and excuse himself and excuse himself.
Yeah, so he keeps going to the restroom to get changed. But it's funny because sometimes he's a woman and he's in the men's. Sometimes he's a man and he's in the woman's. And sometimes there's people like, what are you doing in here? And he's like, oh, sorry, dearie, I've got a cock. And you're like, okay, yeah. Mm. And there's that bit where he gets changed in 12 seconds. And you're like, well, every other time it's taken you 10 minutes. So I don't know what you've done there. And then he keeps going back and forth to tables, but he's getting drunker and drunker. And then his boss-to-be is like, you've got lipstick on, because he forgot to take some lipstick off. And he's like, oh, yeah, I managed to hit it off with one of the staff here. And the guy immediately goes, do you think she's got a friend that likes old wrinkled fucks? And you're like, oh, God.
And then he finally arrives back at the table dressed as Mrs. Doubtfire, because he's got mixed up.
He's got mixed up. So he sits in front of his new boss-to-be as Mrs. Doubtfire, and the guy's like, what the hell are you doing dressed like that? And then I almost thought he might go, God, you're a wonderful lady. Just sort of dry humping Daniel over the table. But no, that doesn't happen.
He then says, this is my idea for the show.
Yeah. Now, earlier on, the boss just saw Robin just riffing, being funny with, Elvis has left the building. I'm extinct now. Yeah. And then he decides to sort of go, no, this is my idea for a TV show. A really twee, nice old lady.
Yeah.
And I would have gone, no, I like the stuff you were doing before.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it as this, no fucking show, mate. No, I'm not doing it. Because we do see the end result at the end of the film.
We do.
And the end result is shit.
Yeah, it is.
It's not a very good show.
No, it's not. It's not Pee Wee's Playhouse, is it?
It's not, is it?
No. It's Thora Heard's Playhouse.
Raoul Moat's Playhouse. It's just not great.
No.
It's an S-Pod thing. The podcast revisiting S Club 7's insane TV show.
Yeah, I can't imagine anyone's binge-watched this. Anyone who's not on drugs.
Thank you for bringing this into my life. It was honestly truly appalling.
Guests helped me analyse the show in more detail than anyone ever asked for.
It feels weird to me to say the phrase sex object in a show that was aimed at six-year-olds.
Do you think this is one of the problems with the show is that 7 is too much?
It's an S-Pod thing from Great Big Owl.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So yeah, Robin has to think on his feet. Daniel goes, "Oh, the reason why I'm dressed like this is because meet the new host of your show. I'm going to change your ratings." And the guy's like, "You got balls," or something like that.
Literally.
And Robin's like, "If only you knew." And then goes, "Oh, I need to go back to the other seat," but then realizes that Pierce Brosnan is genuinely choking to death because he has severe allergic reactions.
Mm-hmm.
And then Daniel goes, "Well, I think I might have gone too far now. So I'm going to do the Heimlich manoeuvre."
Yes.
And then Heimlichs him. As
the shrimp leaves his throat, Daniel's mask peels off.
Peels off, which is genuinely frightening. Terrifying. Because now to his old lady child, who's lived thousands of years, has to see what looks like, "Oh, my father's a reptile from V?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?"
Yeah. He's the little baby from V.
Yeah. But even she goes, "Daddy?" She goes, "Oh, yeah, it's my daddy." What else could this possibly be?
And Sally Field is, mortifyingly embarrassed.
So embarrassed because they've had little sort of like woman chats and stuff like that. Again, done so much better in Tootsie.
Yeah.
And the whole thing about Dustin Hoffman's character coming onto Charles Durning coming onto all that done so much better.
Yeah.
And then the game is up.
Yeah.
And then everyone just leaves the restaurant like, "You horrible, spiteful, vengeful, deceitful man."
But Pierce Brosnan gets a good joke in, though.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
He points at him to say, he says thanks and then points at his throat. He mimes the Heimlich maneuver and he goes, "Thanks."
Yeah.
And then he walks out.
Mutters, "Prick." As he leaves. And then Robin does that awful thing because all the other people at the table are looking and he just goes, "Show's over, folks."
Yeah.
You know, like, don't fucking throw all your woes and shit onto those other people.
That's what they've got the whole film.
Yeah, exactly. They've got just as much right to sit there astonished with the fucking antics that you've been up to in the last half hour in this restaurant.
Christ. Can you imagine? They'd be talking about that in the papers for weeks.
Yeah, local nutcase.
Tries to kill the man who's dating his ex-wife.
Yeah,
whilst cross-dressing.
Okay, yeah. And then we cut back to the court custody and it all gets very serious now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the judge is trying to be as understanding as he can. Like, "I know you dearly love your children, but the way that you even says your actions have been insane and I can't let you near them anymore unless you're with a court-appointed person."
Yeah, with a supervisor.
Which is
visits.
A perfectly rushed... I would have said the same. No way are you going... Your eldest child saw your cock.
Mm-hmm.
Are you happy about that?
You then told them not to tell their other siblings. I mean, that's classic...
After revealing yourself to your children, you then hushed it up.
Oh my God.
So the judge goes, no, I'm sorry, full custody now to Sally Field. You can go every other Saturday and there'll be someone else. And then Robin goes into, it's not his fault, it's in the script, but has to do that full schmaltzy, not my kids, not my kids, they're my heir. And the judge goes, fucking tell it to someone else, mate. No.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we then see that his show is a success.
Yeah, big success. It looks utterly dog shit.
Yeah, it looks really... No child would watch that. I can tell you now.
No.
Unless he had really good cartoons, no child would watch that.
Because there's only one point where Daniel is Mrs. Doubtfire makes a funny quip. The rest of the time it's, oh, dearie, yes, dearie. Oh, isn't that interesting, dearie? With a bloke pretending to be a monkey.
Yeah.
Who's just a really, really annoying voice.
Yeah.
And it's not funny. And you go, no, that's not really what... Anyway, that's fine. But I'm so surprised that this movie took... Because you'd expect this movie to go full on. The judge goes, my God, you love your family. Full custody to you. Let's shoot Sally Field and eat her. You know, you were expecting it to go that way. Big, happy family. Or they get back together because Sally Field goes, actually, he did clear up his apartment. He's got a job now. He can cook. Oh, come here, you lovable rogue. But it doesn't. It goes down that, no, you're staying divorced. And I kind of like that element about it.
Yeah, I do. It's the only logical conclusion.
It's the only bit of actual realism and logic that actually stays in the whole thing.
But Sally Field and her kids watch the show and love it. So she comes to see him on the set. By the way, the show is the number one show in the area.
Number one show, but it's in San Francisco, so everyone's stoned.
But it's going to get syndicated, he says.
Making glory hoes for a living, so it's fine.
So she comes to see him on set, and then he goes, oh, I'll just go and get changed. And he comes back.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, it hasn't, I know none of this has been easy. And he goes, yes, because you took my children away from me.
Again.
Fuck off.
Straight in with it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a bit of casual racism as well in that. Does he do an impression of something or no? He talks about Pakistanis in England. Yeah. And it's really like, okay.
Everyone in the corner shop has that voice.
Everyone in the, there you go. Yeah.
Oh my God. So he tries to gaslight her.
Yeah, but they have an argument again. Mm-hmm. And you could clearly go, yeah, you two should not be together.
And she says, look, and then she goes, look, you know, fine. And then it cuts to the house and there's a knock at the door and she comes in and says, kids, because they were looking for a new nanny, that's right, and all the names are terrible. And there's a knock at the door and the kids are like, oh, it's the new nanny who's going to look after us on the weekends and evenings.
Yeah.
And they open the door and it's Robin Williams.
And it's dad.
And they said, well, what about what the judge said? And Sally Field goes, I told him it was fine. I am actually really nice and you shouldn't have all called me a prick for 2 hours.
I've actually decided it's easier if I know where your dad is at all times now. this actually makes my life easier. He doesn't have to pretend to be someone else anymore. The schizophrenic voices are finally subsiding. He can just be with you. I know where he is, and that actually gets my life somehow back on track.
Yeah.
I'm still going to jump the living bones out of Pierce Brosnan, by the way. And now I'm going to do it in front of you kids.
Because you've seen everything.
In fast forward as the end credits go past.
Yeah, so they get in the car and they drive off, and he's all happy, and Sally Field's nice, as she's been throughout this entire process.
Yeah, she's been as reasonable as any normal human being could be.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then he drives off with his children. Hopefully not to just drive straight into the water and kill them all, which could possibly happen.
Some suicide death pact that he's now dreamt up.
hopefully he's going to take them somewhere nice. We don't know.
Yeah, and then suddenly he reverts back to type and he's at the front of the car and he turns around and he's suddenly all yellowed up. Oh, I'm Kamikaze Dad! We all go together! Oh no, he hasn't learned anything. as the car careers into the harbour, into a paddle steamer. The end.
That oldest kid, though, if I was the director of this film, I'd say to him, after the scene where you've seen your dad having a piss, for the rest of the film, I want you to play it where you're wide-eyed and looking completely traumatised for the rest of the film.
Drawing pictures on a pad.
Yeah. Hey, I'm a hot dog. Dad, please don't talk about hot dogs.
Please don't do the hot dogs again.
All I can think about is your penis.
Sorry. But instead of ending it like that, it ends with a little soliloquy, a little author's message, which is so...
Yeah, Sally Field sees it on the TV.
So upsetting.
I have a letter here from a little girl whose parents have separated.
Their families come in all kinds of shapes and sizes. Some live alone, some live with men that live in a basement and have blocked out windows. And it says, oh, and it does all that. Some have two mummies and daddies. Some have no mummies and daddies at all. And then it ends with that schmaltzy shot of the San Francisco Bay.
Thing you should do is dress as a lady and take over their lives.
Is infiltrate a family from within and ruin their lives. Oh, my dearie.
It was in the film Rashomon, my dear. And did you know the idea for the sequel? Thankfully,
yes, yes, that's right. And now it's about his older daughter, isn't it?
Yeah, keeping an eye on her while she's at college by dressing as Mrs. Doubtfire again.
So again, yeah, but she would just go, Dad, why? How is anyone fooled by that? Because she's already seen him do that.
Mm.
She's the only one out of the family who immediately had doubts about Doubtfire as well. It was like, fuck you, old lady. And then went, oh, I'm sorry about being rude.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, if only I could tell her it's me. If only I could show her my penis, like I've done to my son. And so if the sequel went ahead, Robbie Williams moves off campus, or on campus, I presume. Like, meet your new gym teacher. Hilarious montage shots. And she'd be going, Dad, you're doing it again. You've and then the principal of the principal of the university would go, I've been your daughter's made us very much aware of your proclivities, Mr. Daniels. If we see you on this campus again, we will taser you.
Mm.
You mad fucker.
Well, thankfully Robin Williams had the sense to say no to that.
What did he do directly after? Because this is when he went
Patch
through
Adams,
that.
I think.
Yeah, so again, he went straight into another schmaltz fest.
Yeah.
It's so weird because when he started his career, obviously, he tried really quickly to veer away from madcap comedy because he did things like Moscow on the Hudson, and he did World According to Garp, and he did some really interesting stuff. And then he went through that awful period of toys. Everything was just overboard schmaltz, family friendly.
What Dreams May Come, all that stuff.
But then towards the end he ended up doing things like World's Best Dad and Death to Smoochie, and ended up becoming like, oh, this is, and then did was it 24 Hour Photo, is that him? Did and stuff Insomnia. Like that, Insomnia, and you're like, wow, this is. But he went through that, and the largest part of his career was doing very family friendly schmaltz, wasn't it? I didn't expect to really hate Mrs. Doubtfire as much as I would, but from the moment it set off, and it, clearly we were both making the same notes, not talking, going, he's just this character. They haven't thought out this character at all. Right. It's just the fact that he's getting away with it because it's Robin Williams and he just does lots of funny voices and quips. But the character's journey, the way he deals with people, is so awful. Wrong.
It needs to be sealed in concrete and can see it because it's gonna it just encourages psychopaths.
It really does. It just encourages such wrong behavior, such behavioral problems. The film doesn't nothing really happens in it at all. It's a weird film. It's not even a series of like disparate little scenes that hang together. It's just there's three sort of set pieces, and then in between it's just Robin Williams lying. And then the lie is up. And then he has to accept those consequences. And then at the end, the film sort of goes, yeah, some people are fucked up. Just get on with your life. Yeah. And you're like, okay.
Yeah, don't behave like I did.
Yes, exactly.
What should happen at the end of this film is when Sally Field comes to see him on that set, he should say, I know I was bad. I know I was a terrible husband. And I wasn't there enough for my kids. And what I did was awful and I shouldn't have done that. But I'm a changed man now.
Yeah,
I've got my life in order. And I'm sorry.
Exactly. It took me playing a 70-year-old woman to get in touch with my inner sides and I've learned a lot of things. And I still blame you for everything.
Yeah. He hasn't changed at all. Apart from being good at cleaning and cooking, that's it.
Yes. And now you know him as a character is going to get even worse because now he's going to be in a massive syndicated show.
Yeah.
So now Daniel's character will start doing coke, he'll start sleeping with hookers. He's going to become a real mess now.
I want to see him on fire after setting himself on fire, freebasing like Richard Pryor did, running down the street as an old lady. Oh, my dearie, I'm having another hot flush.
There'll be a scene 4 years later where they're now living with peers on Knob Hill. All the family have got beautiful bedrooms. They're all really settling in with their lives. And then Dad turns up at 4 a.m. and he's dressed like a clown.
Holding a gun. I'm here for you, Knob Hill.
Here's my impression of Knob Hill. Beep. That's what will happen to Daniel. Oh. He'll be a raging alcoholic, drug dealing bloke, sleeping with loads of women, and just his life will be. He'll die by the time he's 60.
Yes.
So there you are. That was Mrs. Doubtfire.
Doubtfire.
Wow.
So we ask Bond questions here.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, go on then.
So, Paul.
Yeah.
We asked this before, but you know, it's good to refresh.
Yeah.
Have you changed your mind? What's your favourite Bond film?
It's For Your Eyes Only, John.
Of course it is.
Because of the music.
For Your Eyes Only. Da, 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 da. That was my favourite Bond theme. What's your least favourite Bond film?
Die Another Day. For loads of reasons. Even Pierce has gone, I've had enough of this.
Mm.
And then Madonna's in it and she's awful.
Yeah.
And the song's awful and it's just not very good. Just tired.
Yes. Can you give me your made up Bond film title?
Yeah, it's called 007, The Search for Moneypenny's Gold. Basically, it's the plot of City Slickers 2, but it's James Bond looking for Moneypenny's gold.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, so Bond is full of silly lady names, such as Holly Goodhead, Plenty O'Toole, and Smallbone. Can you give me your best Bond lady name?
I was thinking, like, an old lady used to be like a madame, like maybe in a Parisian brothel, but she's still handy. But she's now an old lady, and she uses that to her advantage, but she still dresses sexy and entices men, and she's called Horlicks. Or I thought of an assassin, and she's just called Money Shot, because that's disgusting.
Oh, that's good.
Money Shot. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did put a question about gadgets, which doesn't apply to this film, so ignore that.
No.
And finally, who would you have as James Bond next?
I would really like, I'd like to force Daniel Craig to actually do another one, but this time he has to fucking smile once and enjoy himself.
Yeah, that would be nice.
And then he can go.
Or
only then can you go, Daniel.
He's fired from the MI6 and comes back as a female agent called James Doubtfire. And has to watch us. And the next 007 quite rightly takes his job, but he's really annoyed about it.
Yeah, there's a hilarious montage where it's, dude looks like a lady, but he's doing spy stuff. So he's like, what would you like to drink? And he's like, I can't have a martini. That's a bit James Bond. Lemonade, please. Dude looks like a lady. That sort of stuff. Yeah, it'd be awful.
Well, that's Mrs. Doubtfire covered. Said the bus
Thank
driver.
You very much. For Yes, I got that bus driver. My word. Ay, ay, ay. Well, it was a real curate's egg, but I'm really glad we did it.
Me too.
Yeah. I now know that I never have to watch Mrs. Doubtfire again.
Yeah, isn't that exciting?
That's a really nice thing to unburden in the world that we now currently live in. Because I know I'm going to get to a point where I've run out of anything to watch.
Mm.
And I'll have to go, well, it's Mrs. Doubtfire there now. Mm. But now I could go, nope, done that.
Yeah.
I can just hit my head against a wall for 2 hours just doing a variety of silly voices.
Yeah.
Whilst my partner goes, get out! That's what I'll do for the rest of lockdown.
I'm sure I will never, ever watch this film ever again.
No, I won't. No. I can't.
Brilliant. Well, Paul, thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you very much for having me.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Figaro, son qua. Figaro, son qua. Figaro qua, Figaro là. Figaro qua, Figaro là. Figaro su, Figaro giù. Figaro su, Figaro giù. Pronto, prontissimo, son come il fulmine, son il factotum della città, della città, della città, della città, della città. Ah, bravo Figaro, bravo bravissimo, ah, bravo Figaro, bravo bravissimo. A te fortuna, a te fortuna, a te fortuna, non mancherà. La 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 la. A te fortuna, a te fortuna, a te fortuna, non mancherà. Sono il factotum della città, sono il factotum della città, della città, della città, della città. Salutation, snack.
Yelp, on second thought.
Yelp!
Hi, I'm Keza McDonald.
And I'm Ellie Gibson.
And this is our new show, Extra Life.
It's basically us talking to funny people about video games.
When I was a kid, it was Grand Theft Auto.
There's Sinclair ZX Spectrum.
We talk about the games people remember from when they were kids and what they're playing now.
Guitar Hero.
The Last of Us 2.
Combat on the Atari 2600.
No, I love Pokemon.
Anyway, find us anywhere you get your podcasts.
Extra Life.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.